Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
And I am Puma. We are glad that you joined us today.
Yes, yes. Happy March. Is that a thing people say?
Is it Happy March?
Yeah, it is March.
Okay, oh, good. Yeah, time is just flying by. It's, yeah. You know, this whole winter season, I feel like I got a scratchy throat this morning. And my voice, not that, but my voice is a good voice. But
well,
I mean.
I think so, it's a flow short.
Yeah, it's a voice only a mother could love.
Not true.
Okay.
But we'll talk about why that's not true in a moment. Because we are in our Story of God series. And, we're looking really at 12 key parts of Scripture, of the Bible, really, and how that tells the meta-narrative of God's Word.
Yeah, people are like, oh, the Bible is just a confusing book. I don't know what it says or what it means. Yada, yada, yada. I hear this all the time. And maybe for your experience, I'm going to read the Bible this year, and you start reading and you get into like the second chapter of Genesis or whatever. I mean, you don't go far and you're like, I don't understand what it means. And there's a lot. I mean, the details are many in the Bible, but the big picture of what God is wanting to try to communicate, help us understand, I think there's a simple storyline. And as we looked last time, the Bible is the story of God. It's not the story of us. Mm-hmm. People are not the central character in the story of life. Even though, honestly, I want it to be, right? Isn't this every little kid? They live and act as if they're the center of the world.
Right. They have that main character energy, as they say, that everything's about them.
Yeah.
Everybody else is a side quest.
Yeah. And when people grow up still thinking that, we have some of the chaos that we have in our world today, some of the struggles, and everyone is eking out some kind of meaning and purpose for their own life. Does life have any overarching meaning? The big questions of life, right? Who am I? Where did I come from? What's wrong with the world? Where am I going? Is there any meaning and purpose to life and history? All those big worldview questions. The grand story of the Bible answers those. I mean, these are gives satisfactory answers and explanations for those, nagging questions that people have, everybody has. Even when people try to suppress that, they still, at the end of the day, wonder, why am I here? Is there any point or meaning to life?
Yeah, well, as we begin this first chapter, if you will, chapter one of the story of God, it addresses all of those questions, and I think it's great. I think even to Puma, you mentioned before the podcast, if we don't understand this first chapter of God, we won't understand all of the other chapters.
Right.
I mean, this is foundational, not just for us who read, but as we want to understand God. If we get this chapter wrong, if we get this understanding of who God is in his story wrong, none of it makes sense. So, shall we dive in?
We shall.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
It's chapter one, story of God. Where are we at? Why is it so important?
Yeah, as we're looking at these kind of 12 big snapshots, we got to start right at the very beginning of the Bible.
Good place to start.
Yeah, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created what,
Tori? The heavens and the earth.
The heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And right at the very beginning, this idea that there is a God, and the Bible assumes that there is a God, and that this God created really sets the tone for everything. Even just that concept that God is a creator God, that is a subject that God gets great mileage out of throughout the Bible.
Yeah,
I mean, over and over again, and I may have mentioned this before, but one of these years, I'm just going to read through the Bible and just take note of every time the Bible references that God is the creator or that God says, I'm the creator. It's everywhere. It's in passages you don't even think about, but it's fundamentally, we have to get that in our mind that I am not here by my own desire. I'm not here. I didn't cause myself to be here, and that I'm not an accident. I'm very purposed by a creator God. And therefore there are certain implications to that, right? If God is the creator, what does that make you and I?
Created,
right? We are the created. And we see this in human experience, right? Have you created anything?
Well, I have created some things.
Okay.
Some things I'm proud of, some things I'm not so
right,
proud of.
Sure, yeah, right. Yeah, some people are more creative than others. I mean, we appreciate like a beautiful picture or, you know, the design of things. But even like architecture, I'm amazed at some of the buildings in the history of the world that people have gotten together and put like just buildings, like architecture. It's just amazing. You know, there's all those videos online here recently. It seems like in the feed, social media feed, there's these videos of people out in the woods, and they take a huge like redwood tree that fell down, and they just carve out and they turn it into like a little log cabin out in the woods, and it's really awesome. Or like in the side of a mountain or that sort of thing, you know?
Well, even too, if it comes to creation, some of it is just in the eye of the beholder, right? So like there's this dude on YouTube, he calls it public camping, where he will camp overnight in public places but secretively. So like he spent like 3 days in a roundabout, like the bush there. And like, but like his whole channel is how to like he camps in public places but secretly, and it's really random. But like that is a creative story arc, even for a weird YouTube channel.
Sure.
But yeah, like whether it's visually beautiful or just like, oh, that was curious, that's a unique twist on something.
Yeah.
So many ways to be creative.
Yeah. So as a creator, and we see this, you know, I'm a content creator, right? Online. You know, we got these creators. As a creator, what does that imply, right? Like as a creator, you've created things, I've created things. What do we assume then as the creator?
Yeah, well, I think one, you have to have some intention, right?
Okay, some
I mean, I
intentionality.
could throw a bunch of paint on the wall and I could create something, but if my intention is simply that, that's still some thought designed into it.
Okay, so there's some thought, there's design, is there some ownership
Yeah,
over what you create?
ownership, right? Yeah, if you were the creator, you are over, you oversee, you own the thing that you created.
Okay. Yeah, do you probably care about what you created? Maybe not. It depends on why you created it,
For
but
sure.
you know, I mean, as a kid, this is what, you know, 5-year-olds do all the time. They get a bunch of Duplo blocks or Legos or blocks, and the boy builds the tower, and then his sister comes by, and what does she do?
Kicks it over.
Kicks it over. And how does the boy respond? Oh, that's okay.
He grabs his plastic bat and chases her
Right,
around
chase her
the
out. Why? Because he cares about what he just made.
Yeah.
He cares about it. And he wants to show it off. He wants to, you know, relate to it. He wants to
Yeah.
like see
There's
this.
some identity of himself in the
Yeah,
creation.
I did this.
Right. This
I
is a
did
part of
this.
me, or was.
Yeah, you know, this is in a sense, if you say an extension of me, if you will, or this highlights my character or, you know, what I do. And so, you know, we do this. You see, God as the creator, that idea runs throughout the entire Bible, that he is the creator. You know, Isaiah 40, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Therefore, he doesn't get tired or weary. His understanding can fathom, you know, those who get tired, you know, can trust in him. You know, he's the one. I mean, it's everywhere. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, right? The fact that it's his because he created it. He's
Yeah.
the owner of it. I mean, this theme runs throughout the whole Bible. And so if we miss that, we don't start off correctly.
Well, even our previous names of God series, Elohim, right? The all-powerful
Right.
creator.
Right.
One of his titles literally is the Almighty Creator, the one who
Right.
creates. There's no one stronger, more powerful, or more creative
Right.
than the God of the universe.
Right. And that is the title or name of God throughout Genesis 1. And so God created, and obviously, for those that are familiar with Genesis 1, God, you know, creates the heavens and the earth, the land and the sky, the stars, the moon, light, you know, darkness, plants, animals, water, land, everything, creates everything. And God cares about everything that he created. But if we blink, we might miss. And because God didn't want us to blink and miss, just as things are popping off one after another, the narrative slows way down in verse 26, you know, and says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And this is really the point of our, since our first snapshot, our first, you know, chapter of the story of God, is that God created and mankind is God's special creation. That you and I are God's special creation. And we use the word special because there's something about the creation of man, men and women, that is uniquely different than everything else that God created. Do you know what that might be, Tori?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that are different, you know, but the big key difference is that, you know, plants, animals, right, the sun, the fish, everything that else he created, well, one, God said it was good at the end of the day, but with mankind, it was very good. It was very good, not because we look better, we're, you know, so much greater, but God chose to put his very own image. And not the monkeys, not the mangoes.
Not in the mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in people. People are special because God put his image. And at the end of that day, rather than good, it was very good. And one of the other cool things I love about how God creates, right? We are creative because we have a creative God who made us. Mm-hmm. But for the other things, the other 6 days, he just spoke. Let there be light. Let there be, you know, fish.
Right.
But with mankind, he didn't just speak it. He actually crafted it.
Right.
That's interesting.
You know, let there be just spoke with man. He said, let us make. Mm-hmm. And that highlights part of the relational nature of God's relationship to mankind. Mm. That we aren't just something that he spoke. He paused and said, let us make, let us fashion. God, who is a relational person, created mankind in his image with the capacity to relate as he relates, which makes us unique in all of creation, that mankind alone has a capacity to have a relationship with the Almighty God that is real, that is not coerced, that is volitional, that is mutual, that is expressive. Mm. I mean, the psalmists talk about how the mountains and nature sings and can worship God just by the world being as God created it to be and all of its beauty and glory and whatnot. Mm. But mankind, we were created with the intentionality of a relational God. We were fashioned, not just spoken into existence, but fashioned, you know, which is relational. Interesting too, it's when God spoke, he spoke creatures into being. So they're just creatures, right?
Right, yeah.
But with man, with mankind, it wasn't creatures. He created them male and female. Mm. Now, are there different, you know, male, female animals, right? Yeah. But they don't say that here in Genesis 1. It just says creatures. He created creatures.
Yeah, it's true.
Let there be creatures. But with man, he created them male and female. So not only is God relational, but he's also personal. There's this personal component to that, God creating us was personal to him.
Yeah.
And we can have a personal relationship with him. God said according to their kind. He created, you know, plants according to their kind and, you know, cows according to their kind. Mm. Mankind were created in the likeness of God.
Yeah.
In his image, right?
We are
in an image likeness, and which really sets us in a different category.
Yeah.
A very different category. Hmm. There is mankind, and then there is everything else that God created.
Yeah.
And they are not equal,
yep,
according to God. Not that God dislikes everything he created, but the creation of man, it's almost like man is the capstone or the grand finale, the crown of what he created. So much so, and you mentioned this earlier, after every day, God says it is good. When he got done creating mankind, he said, it is very good. Mm. This screams something fundamentally important. You know, this first snapshot of the story of God is that God created people, created you and me, as his special creation. Mm. And that really sets the tone or foundation for the rest of everything that we see and read in the Bible. And if we miss that, we really do not have a proper understanding of life in our world. We don't have a proper understanding of ourselves.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, because with this key idea, right, there is people who have God's special image, which is, well, mankind, and everything else. I like how you said it's both relational, but even at this point, here in Genesis 1, there's like no sin, right? Mankind is stained with sin. Part of God making us from the very beginning, we were sinless, which reflects his image, right? And I think it's so interesting that even in Genesis 1, even with mankind, male and female, who were sinless, God still had a plan and a reason to make us. And again, I love that God, he wasn't lonely, right? It's like us, right? The Trinity is right there, verse 26, that there is, God is not desperate for relationship. He has it. He creates it because he just wants us to experience the blessing of being in his world, in relationship with him. Which does beg a question then. Now, post the fall of man, we have sin. Does this make us any less valuable? Because Jesus is talking to people who were sinless at that point, right? They were made in his image, but they didn't have any sin. Now you and I, mankind, the rest of the world today, those listening to this podcast, we have sin. Every person has sin in their life. Does that change our value?
If I got out a American Eagle silver dollar, just buy it freshly minted, right? I hold it up, it's all shiny, right? It has intrinsic value and worth,
True.
right? Let's suppose I drop it in the toilet or down, and it gets all messed up, and then I don't want to touch it, and then it, in the dirt, and it gets all dirty and scuffed and everything. Does that change its intrinsic value just because it is dirty or
No.
unclean?
No, it's still ounce of silver.
No. Yeah, it still is what it is. I mean, the image of God is not God. God's love for us and the intrinsic value that he places on mankind does not change because of sin. In fact, we see this throughout the rest of the Bible. The whole reason why God rescues mankind and redeems mankind from our sin is because of our intrinsic value and worth. The whole world, the Bible tells us in Genesis 3, is marred by mankind's sin. It's not like the forests sinned against God or the planets sinned against God. Mankind sinned against God, and mankind is worth redeeming because of who we are as God's special creation. And I think this is why this first snapshot, as we look at the big storyline of the Bible, is so important. Because the image of God screams several things. One, it says that all people have intrinsic value, right? Intrinsic worth. In fact, priceless. In the Psalms, it says, what price can you put on the life of a person, right? I mean, how many animals could you sacrifice to? I mean, to for a person. I mean, if I had, when I exchanged this person, like you're my son, I wouldn't give you up for $1 billion, right? Because to me, you're priceless, right? You're priceless to me, right? There's the value that people have to God is a priceless one. We have intrinsic value, which means we have dignity. We have dignity and worth, not because we're successful, not because I'm an honor student, not because I'm incredibly wealthy, not because of the family lineage that I have. I have dignity and worth because of who I am as God's special creation. And this is, I think, an idea that so many people don't understand. I mean, we live in a world that is trying to image ourself.
True.
The world says, and this is because of sin, and we'll get to this down the road in these podcasts, but the world says, Tori, that you have value if you have what the world thinks is important, or you have value if you can do what the world says is important. Those are external things, right? So if you have the look, if you have the personality, if you have the skill set, if you can produce, you are valuable. But if you don't have the personality, you don't have the skill set, you don't have the assets, then you are less valuable.
So our worth and value is tied to what we have or what we do. It's conditional.
According to our world. And we feel that all the time, don't we?
Yeah, that's
It's like
true.
I go to school and I feel like a nobody because I'm not athletic. Or I feel less because everyone in the class got, a decent grade and I didn't. As if somehow I'm less of a person. And then that's how people treat me, right? I mean, so you get into all the ways that people treat other people, and we could list all the different ways. You know, why is racism bad? For instance, you know, why is racism bad? It's because we value people based upon external things, or we devalue them based upon their external instead of their intrinsic value and worth as someone created in the image of God.
Yeah, to be racist is to say that God made certain people less valuable, which is false.
Right. I mean, you would, in a sense, say that. Even people that don't believe in God
say,
you're only valuable because you have the right skin color, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Nazi Germany, right? If you have the right ethnicity, if you don't, you're not valuable, and we can easily slaughter and kill you.
Yeah.
And we see that these ideas leaking into our culture today, right?
Right.
You have
abortion.
You have abortion. You have infanticide. You have euthanasia, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it goes both ends of the spectrum. Right. If you can't produce, you're of less value.
Yeah.
So in some socialist countries, and I know probably some people say, well, that's debatable, but things are going on today where if you are elderly and you are a drain on the, you know, the resources, you know, some countries say it is your right and duty to die because you no longer are a contributor.
Right. Yeah. What do you bring to the table? Nothing.
Right.
So you're just draining. You're no longer worth anything. Yeah.
Right. You see this in the whole like environmental push, right? Where it says you don't have any intrinsic dignity and worth. In fact, you are the problem, right? And so they elevate the rest of creation and put it on par with man as special. And in fact, sometimes more special.
Right.
So we devalue human dignity and worth in order to elevate another area of creation.
Yeah. Well, and this idea also isn't just toward others, right? I mean, God values all life, but how about ourselves? I mean, I've talked to people this past week who just think they're so worthless. God can't use them. They've messed up too much. They feel worthless. You know, if we're going to take chapter one of the story of God for what it is, in the beginning, God created, fast forward a little bit, the most prized possession in God's treasure box is humanity.
It's humanity.
He loves people, and that includes you.
Yeah.
Right?
So that includes me, and I am a creation of God. You know, the Bible says that I have a immaterial component of me, but I also have a physical component. I have a literal body, right? I am male or female, and that's a whole nother subject that we could get into. Today, God created two genders, and he said it was very good, in that who I am as a man and who, you know, my wife is as a woman and men and women throughout the history of the world and today all have equal value, worth, and dignity as special creations of God. And this whole push today to say that my physical body really doesn't define me, doesn't really, you know, that's not who I am. Well, no, that is who you are as God's special creation. You can't separate, you know, your immaterial and physical. You are a total package. But today we try to separate that.
Yeah.
You know, and so people say my identity is not what I look like on the outside. I'm going to change what I look like on the outside and create a new identity. I'm going to create a new gender for myself or whatever. And that's just another huge area that we could get into today. But it does scream a lack of understanding of what does it mean to be intrinsically valuable and with dignity and worth because of who I am as God's special creation.
Yeah, I think it's easy for us to forget that because we are made in God's image, we are worth taking care of ourselves, right? Even sometimes people get into this, oh, I have to serve everybody else. I have to meet all of their needs. My needs don't matter. And we burn ourselves out. We get frustrated. We feel left out. And honestly, we can't help people if we ourselves are wasting away. And it's a false sense of pride masked as humility, trying to serve everybody else. But if you're made in God's image, you are worth taking care of. If you are made in God's image and you are worth protecting. I think sometimes it's easy to be a doormat because we feel like, well, it's all we deserve, right?
Right.
You know, but the Bible says differently.
It's very easy to feel low about yourself because the world says you're not worth anything because you don't have what the world says is valuable.
Yeah.
And so we feel very bad about ourselves, a self-worth or self-dignity. And some people just kind of let themselves go right? You know, it's like, well, why should I try? I'm just, it's easier if I don't try, and we don't steward our bodies well, and our self well, our mental health well, our physical health well, emotional health well. You know, part of the reason why we take care of ourselves is because of the intrinsic value, worth, and dignity that God places on us. I mean, all these things go hand in hand, but they all stem. See, this is why the whole ideas matter. What I think to be true and what I believe to be true, the ideas that I hold true actually matter in how I live my life, the choices that I make, the words that I say, the decisions, how I react and respond. And if I don't really see myself as intrinsically valuable, as a special creation of a almighty creator God, who is relational and personal and powerful, purpose me, that I'm just an accident. So the whole evolutionary view of life says that I have no intrinsic value. I'm just an accident, right? And when, you know, if I hear that one time, I don't believe it. But when I am bombarded my whole life with, I'm not purposeful, I have no value and meaning, I'm just an accident.
Yeah.
Right? My parents didn't want me, life doesn't want me, I'm just in the evolutionary process, I came from whatever. Right? I mean, that how that weighs on. So that way we got to try to create our own meaning and try to image ourselves and try to do. And so you get on the, you know, the hamster wheel, you're running through life trying to meet everyone's expectations, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
And we live in an exhausted world.
Yeah. According to this first chapter of God's story, you and I, mankind, we are made on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. And if we don't believe this is true, if we don't believe we're special, why would I have to take care of me? Why should I take care of others?
Right.
Yeah. No, this is so critical. And you're right. Future chapters will see where sin enters and how God is on a plan to win back his special creation.
Right.
But Puma, what's a good AQ for us today? You know, as we reflect on being made in the image of God, what is a good AQ?
Yeah, well, one, you know, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, and he created me. First question, kind of a twofold AQ. First is, what do I really think about God as my creator? I mean, do I really believe that he created me with intentionality and purpose? Or do I give in to the temptation in our world that I am just an accident, that God doesn't really think about me? And what does this say about you and I? What does this say about us? That if what the Bible says is true, how do I view myself as I sit here today? You know, what do I see as meaningful and valuable in my life? Is it who I am as God's special creation? Or do I see myself valuable according to what my friends think of me or what others expect of me, or even try to image my own self, create an identity for myself out there? You know, to really think that through. How do I view myself? How do I treat other people? It's another question you get asked. Because our treatment of others, right? Do I abuse people? Do I make fun of people? Do I talk down to people? Do I disrespect others intentionally? You know, all these things are reflective of how I see other people as not as valuable, right? So, I mean, there's so many tangents here, but just to kind of reflect on that, what does this say about me? What does this say about God? And how do I think about myself and God in relationship to this amazing truth that I'm God's special creation?
That's a good word, So yeah, that's a good promote. What do we think about God when we think of him as creator? And then how do we view what's really valuable in terms of people? You know, do we really see people, ourselves even, as being made with infinite, eternal worth? I think it's easy for us to lose sight of the fact that we are eternal because we have an eternal God and we're in his image. It's because he lives forever, will live forever. Yeah, no, it's really good. Thank you, Puma. And guys, if you have any questions or comments, as always, feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast.com. And yeah, we'll touch base with you guys next time, Fridays at 10:10. Till then, guys, bye.
Bye-bye.